Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
For those of you who don't know me, my name's Peter. I'm the youth pastor here at St. Bees. If you haven't seen me around, it's because I've been here for about a month, so I'm fairly new, and I'm up that side, so I'm not at many of the services. I just want to kind of like break the ice now that you guys did something a little bit embarrassing. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about myself. And generally people do it by saying an embarrassing story about themselves. Okay, so if you could just put the next slide, please. Oh, there we go. Okay, that's not an embarrassing story. But basically, I am from South Africa, but before I came here, I did a year in South Korea teaching English, and that's where Megan and I lived. It's a place called Busan. We were a little bit outside of that. But yeah, it was a completely different culture. It was a really good experience, but it was a really weird experience. And while I was there, I slipped two discs in my spine, so I was in a lot of pain. But I've got a really bad back. So it happens a lot. I'm young, but I've got a really bad back. And so I went to the hospital, and I went and they did an examination, and they gave me like 3 months of physiotherapy and stuff. And they said, for now, I'm going to give you a Voltaren injection. Like, I've had hundreds of those. So she started explaining what she was going to do, and I didn't really listen. I zoned out. So I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I know the drill. So I went behind the curtain, and where we're from, they inject your bum. So dropped my trousers, bent over the bed, and I was just waiting. I was like, I didn't drop it like all the way down, so I was like, yeah, just enough for the injection. And the nurse walks in, and she goes like bright pink. Okay, in Korea, they really like thing with showing any kind of body parts. Like they wear shirts up, the girls wear shirts up to here, it's just inappropriate. And she looked at me, walked up to me, rolled up my sleeve, and injected me in the arm. Okay, so that was really, really embarrassing. And like most preachers do, the story does actually have a point. So if you could go to the previous one, I should have thought this through properly. Okay, today I'm going to be speaking on the teachable heart, okay, or having a teachable heart. Just straight away, can anyone, when you look at that, what does it mean to have a teachable heart? I'm going to be very interactive, willing to learn. Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Open-minded.
Being a good person, you don't get attention.
Okay, good. Anyone else? Okay, sorry.
Moldable.
Humble. Very good. Okay, I think these are, yeah, there we go. Sermon done. Sweet. Okay, so I think we have the general idea, like having a teachable spirit and having a teachable heart is being open to change and being open to confrontation and being open to, in a Christian sense, the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives to change us into the men and women that God created us to be. And that's basically the essence of what I'm going to be speaking about today. And I'm just going to ask the hospitality team quickly to hand out Bibles, please. What I'm wanting to do right now is we're actually going to go through a passage of Scripture and we're going to be looking at it together, going on the whole teachable thing. I'm going to teach you, and this is something that we've been doing in the youth group, I'm going to teach you how to read Scripture. Okay, some of you have like honors degrees in theology and you're like, but I'm like, teachable, humble. Okay, I'm actually in a really good position that like I can say anything on teachability and you have to kind of listen to me, because if you say, oh, that's absolutely rubbish, you're not being teachable. Okay, I'm not going to do that though. I do take this seriously. So we're going to be having a look at three different points that we look at when we interpret Scripture. And what I'm wanting to do is we're going to look at a general portion of Scripture and then you're going to discuss in your groups these three points. Okay, so skip past the picture of Busan, and we go over there. Okay, when you look at Scripture, we start off by looking at the context, Okay, so understanding the book, understanding when it was written, why it was written, and to whom it was written. Okay, a big part of it is also understanding the actual portion of Scripture that we're going to be looking at. So in the series that we are in at the moment, we're looking at the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to do the context with you. I'm not going to ask you to go into Google and have a look at that. I think that'll be really distracting. But basically, the book of Proverbs was written by a guy named King Solomon. Does everyone know who that is? Okay, after Jesus, he's considered the wisest person that ever lived. Okay, and people would come. He was a king of Israel. People would come from all over the world to kind of seek this guy's wisdom. And he wrote a book, of the Bible that's a compilation of wise sayings that he said. Okay, so this passage of Scripture is a whole bunch of wise sayings that we can apply to our lives. So I don't know if you can read on the PowerPoint, but ancient wisdom for modern living. This, we don't view this as absolutely authoritative, as in that, like, we have a look at the Gospels and Romans, where what it says is what it means, and we believe that this is the doctrine of Christianity. These are wise sayings that we can kind of live our lives about and, like, engage in a deeper relationship with God. It is still Scripture, so it still is authoritative. But we have a look at Proverbs. Like, let's think. Who can tell me a proverb from today's society? Because we have them in the English language. Anyone? There we go, the grass is not always greener on the other side. Okay, anyone else? Just something like that. Just throw them out. A stitch in time saves nine. Okay, what does that mean? You don't know? Okay, cool. So having a look at these, another one is like, never look a gift horse in the mouth. These are like little sayings of wisdom that mean broader things that we apply to our lives. So having a look at this, never look a gift horse in the mouth, that's not a Bible verse, but if it was in the book of Proverbs, it's not saying that as Christians, like, we will sin if we look a gift horse in the mouth. It's not saying that. Another proverb that's actually in there is that it's better for a man to sleep on a roof than to deal with a quarrelsome wife. Okay, it's not saying that you married folk, if you have a fight with your wife, you need to sleep on the roof. Okay, she might want you to, but we're not saying that that's exactly what the Bible is saying that you have to do. These are words of wisdom that are guided for us to grow deeper with God. Okay, and within this context of this passage that we're going to be looking at, it's Proverbs 2, and this is, okay, you can open up, it's Proverbs 2, 1 to 6. And the context of this passage is it's written by King Solomon addressing the idea of wisdom and more specifically pursuing after wisdom, having a teachable heart. Okay, the first three chapters starts off with my son. And we don't know if he's actually writing this to his son or if it's done in a way of fatherly wisdom, but it's done in the light of a father saying, my son, these are words of wisdom that I have to you. So you parents, you think about it. If you could say one saying to your children for them to adapt into their lives, what would it be? And it's done with that kind of mindset. Like all of life, all of this comes down to these wise sayings that I'm saying to you. Okay, so that's kind of the concept. That's the context of this passage of scripture that we're going to be having a look at. Okay, the second one. In the light of the context, so understanding the background, understanding what it's trying to say, what is the passage trying to say? I know I just said what it's trying to say, but what is the passage trying to say? So where it fits within the letter, where it fits within everything, what's it trying to say? And then thirdly, how can I apply this to my life for the glory of God? So I know a lot of you might know this already, but when you look through the Bible yourself, try and have a look at these three categories. It's a great way of kind of getting the most out of Scripture. Okay, so context, what is it? What is the context surrounding it? So within our case, it's wisdom literature. It's written by one of the wisest men that ever lived. Two, within the context of like his son, guidance and direction towards having a teachable heart. In the light of this context, what is the passage trying to say? And how can I apply this to my life for the glory of God? Okay, I'm going to ask you to divide into groups. So let's say, Actually, as you're divided like that, let's maybe do that. Ministry leaders, if there isn't one in that group, could you come and just sit in and amongst them? And let's have a look at this passage together. Okay, open up Proverbs 2, 1 to 6. Okay, it's up on the screens. And talk amongst yourselves. Let's go. Let's read it. I'm going to read it with you actually to start, and then let's discuss. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turn your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry out for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Okay, so you have those passages. Those are the different things I want you to discuss. Also, what are the characteristics of a teachable heart? Understanding the theme that's going through this passage. So let's discuss. I'm going to follow up, so don't just go bleep, 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 and pretend like you're doing it. Let's get discussion going. Yeah, I'm going to give you 2 more minutes. Okay, let's start wrapping up. I'm going to give you 1 more minute. Okay, 30 seconds. Okay, thank you very much for doing that. I'm going to get a little bit of your responses now. So if anyone can tell me, just in the light, the second point, in the light of the context in this passage of Scripture, what is being said? Just anyone, whoever wants to share.
Takes effort to find wisdom and understanding.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Anyone else? Great. Great. Fantastic. Thank you. Great, thank you. Great, how precious and valuable wisdom is. Anyone else? One last person. Yeah, great. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's have a look at the next point. So dealing with the theme of having a teachable heart, the pursuing of wisdom, what are some of the characteristics that we can see are established for someone who has a teachable heart within this passage of Scripture? Great, thank you. Great. Thank you.
So what you're listening to, is that like, is that a good source? Is that God's word?
Yeah. So discernment as well. Like teachability isn't gullibility. So yeah, anyone else?
I was actually, I don't have many conversations, but 2 days ago I had a conversation with somebody about the what is more powerful in the body, whether it's the heart or the brain. Which one could survive without the other? So the question was, could if you switch the brain off, he was putting these electrodes on somebody. It was some chap who's got a boat over in Faversham, and Finbar, his name, a very good bloke. And he wanted to put he didn't want to. I said, I wouldn't like that. These electrodes put on me, particularly around the brain area. And because it was it just doesn't seem right. So I think I asked him the question: would the heart? What was more powerful, the heart or the brain? And could one live without it? Could one supersede the other? And the answer was yes, one could. Because you do hear about people being brain dead, and yet they're still living. So. The heart is more powerful, as in going forward. You do hear the term brain dead, and but that must mean the heart is still working, and we move swiftly on to something else. I visited a friend in Faversham. I found him on the Facebook. There was a number on one of his flyers. He's a music sort of person, so I called him. He was pleased to hear from me, so I drove down there on Friday. From the Barnet area down through the Dartford Tunnel, which cost £2.50. But on the way back, I came back. I got home about 3 a.m. which didn't charge me on the way back because it's through September. But going to the question, a teachable heart. That's what got me off talking to that subject because the heart is still ticking when somebody's still brain dead. So. So it is very important to feed the heart with knowledge.
Great, thank you. Okay, just moving on to the last one. So in the light of all of these things, like seeing the context, seeing what the passage is trying to say, that how important it is to pursue after a teachable heart, and like seeing the characteristics of a teachable heart, what are some of the practical ways in which you can apply this knowledge to your life? Okay, again, open to you guys, please. I'm making you do my job for me. So,
Australian?
Okay, cool. Anyone else?
In Australia, the girls that push the men don't do the work.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah. Great.
Ask questions, not approaching other people like you have every answer. Asking lots of questions, seeking knowledge.
Very good, thank you, Ryan.
Treasuring his word and trying to sort of write
So it's a real application just to be dedicated to read the word.
Great. No, no, go for it, please. Cool, thank you. Last one, Neil.
I mean, going back to talk you gave in the morning, actually being receptive and listening to parental advice as well sometimes, especially if you've got parents who are willing to kind of input into you. And we looked at the passage and we were wondering, why does the language start off with kind of saying, oh, my son this and that, and then ends up saying, and the Lord this and that? I think going slightly back to kind of the heart versus the head question, it's almost saying that if you continue to apply and chase after it, then your heart will does follow as well. So I think practically actually listening to advice.
Great. For those of you who didn't get that, in the Sunday session we spoke about respecting your parents. Okay, so if you have youth, in there, you're welcome. So, cool. Thank you very much. Thank you for everyone who shared. I've just drawn together a few characteristics of a teachable heart that I got out of the passage that I just want to look at very quickly. Okay, so number one, from verse one, someone who remembers instruction and rebuke. Like, I think it's really easy. Someone comes and speaks to us and gives us a word of wisdom or kind of constructive criticism, and it's just in one ear, out the other. And we're like, yeah, cool. Good job. But actually remembers it and meditates on it and goes through it in their own mind. Secondly, in verse 2, applies what they learn. It's one thing to kind of just sit back and be like, oh, cool, that was a pretty sharp sermon that Peter guy did. Our youth guys are lucky. But actually going beyond that and being like, cool, how can I apply this to my life? This is God's word. How can I make this an active part of my life? And that goes on to the third, pursues wisdom and understanding, the active version of pursuing it. And you guys said that, like actually actively going out and being like, cool, I want to know more about God. I want to know more about this. I want to grow in my wisdom in God. Okay, and number four, places immense value on wisdom and understanding. It's not just something that we kind of do every now and again, come to church on Sunday or Bible study or whatever it might be, but it becomes a big part of your life is understanding and knowing more about God. And then the fifth one recognizes that true understanding comes from God and fear of God. And I am going to go into that a little bit more, but I just want to ask one last question. This is the last bit of interaction I'm going to get from you guys. But why is it if you guys want these PowerPoint things, we can put them on the website if that's going to be helpful, if I'm going through them a little bit too quickly. But I want to ask, why is it important to have a teachable heart? Not just what we've seen in the scripture, but why is it important? As Christians, even as non-Christians, why is it important to have a teachable heart?
God wants us to have big hearts.
Okay. Very good point.
Because we're all sinful beings, and in order to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, there are things that we're all sinful, and if we want to grow in Christ-likeness and all the fruits of the Spirit, which are characteristics that Jesus showed during his time here, then we have to recognize that we aren't perfect, and we can only grow through learning and trying to reflect characteristics that Jesus showed, and that requires humble.
Great. Yes. Very good point. We don't always know what to do. We pretend like we do, but we don't always know what to do. Anyone else?
A lot of strife and murder, deaths.
Yeah.
I was going to say that God's interested in our character.
Hmm. One last one.
I think that's true because if you went through every bad situation in your life and not took what you've learned, then you think your life is just a series of horrible things that have happened, but actually if you see what God's done in that and how he's grown you,
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up now and just do a little bit of teaching. I'm not going to make you guys do everything for me. But I think those were all really, really good points. And just from a very practical point of view, having a teachable heart is so anti what like the rest of the world says. Like we kind of meant to like fake it till we make it. So there's that mindset of like, you can't tell me how to live my life. You can't tell me what to do. Like I know best. Like there's kind of this pride and arrogance thing that we're kind of expected to have. So within your workplace, can you imagine like you as a boss, if you speak to one of your employees and they're like, thank you for that. Like, and you see them actually applying that into the workplace, you're going to be like, whoa, this guy's cool. And it's going to elevate you in your work environment. And you're going to glorify God through doing that. Like I think also within relationships and stuff, if you're seeking to grow and be teachable in that, you're going to be benefited within your relationships, like marriage, friends, all of those kind of things. And I just want to answer this question. We believe that Scripture interprets Scripture, and because we're going into Proverbs, I just want to bring in a really powerful passage of Scripture in Romans and just really speak about this. So why having a teachable heart is important is because we believe that we are created by God. We believe that he knows our purpose. He knows our identity. He knows that. And as Christians, if we have given our lives to Christ and we have confessed him as Lord and Savior, we believe that we've received that new identity and that new inheritance of a relationship with God and a new identity with God and a new purpose in God. And only God knows that. So where having a teachable heart comes in is we believe that, yes, our sins have been wiped away through the work of Jesus on the cross, but at the same time, we are still, within our essence, we are sinful. And the only way that we are going to grow, the only way that we are going to mirror Christ, and the only way that we are going to become the men and women that we were created to be is if the Holy Spirit is active and working within our hearts on a daily basis. And if you do not have a teachable spirit, if you are not pursuing after that growth, you're never going to grow. You're never going to truly reflect Christ. I think so often Christians sit back and they just want to receive and receive. And they're like, cool, I've done my thing. I've given my life to Jesus. Sorted. I'm going to heaven. But it's so much deeper than that. God wants so much more for you. And I just want to have a look at this passage of Scripture in Romans 12. Okay, so again, understanding context. Up until this point, Paul has gone into like really big detail, going into doctrine and theology of Christianity. He's laid out that just everything that I've said, that we were sinful, and because of our sin, Jesus came into the world and he died on the cross so that we could have a new life in him, that we could have a relationship with him. And because of that, we've received this new identity as God's children, and we have a purpose to go and reach the world for Jesus. Okay, everyone says, what's the meaning of life? Sorted, you're welcome. Okay, it's to know Jesus and to be his hands and feet within the world today. Okay, and he spent 11 chapters going through that. And then right at the end, he says, in response to our right standing with God, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, in the view of God dying on the cross, even though we didn't deserve it, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we spoke about how the world tells us one thing. The world tells us to fake it till we make it. But the Bible's saying that in response to our relationship with God, we need to actively pursue becoming the men and women that He created us to be. And the way that we do that is by pursuing a teachable heart, by pursuing a teachable spirit. And I think one of the really cool things it says there is, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's not like a once-off thing, like, cool, I'm a Christian now, all done. But it's constantly going through God's things in your mind, constantly meditating God's word, constantly meditating on who God is, putting yourself in a situation in which you can grow, putting yourself in a situation in which you know more of God. It speaks about pursuing understanding and wisdom of who God is and growing in your fear of God. And how do we do that? I've got 3 points over here that we can do. And this is the application of it. One of the things we try and do in the youth is we give them direct application of what they can do. And we're like, cool, go and do that now. So could you put those up, please? Engaging with God's word. And we've spoken about that. That means within your personal life, reading the Bible, you now know how, so you don't have an excuse. Also, submitting yourself under teaching, so coming to things like this in Bible studies, in which you can know more about God. We believe that the word of God is our revelation of who God is. Like, really fundamental Sunday school stuff. We believe the Bible is like basic instruction before leaving earth. Learned that in Sunday school. And it's true. Okay? That's an acronym if you don't get that. Number 2, Christ-centered relationships. And this is one of the reasons why, like, I got you guys to do the sermon for me. Is that the way that we grow is by surrounding us with like-minded people who are also pursuing after a teachable heart of God. Also pursuing after their identity with Christ through fellowship. Having those friends who are going to call you out on your rubbish. Like, I've got my best friend is a guy named Cameron, and he's a really, really interesting chap. And that's one of the things that we do. Like, sometimes we'll go for a beer, and you'll be like, Peter, you're being a complete idiot. He's not a Christian, so he wouldn't use those words. But you need people in your life who are going to call you on your rubbish. You need people in your life who are going to come and say, like, we love you, we want you to grow in your relationship with God, so please work on this. Who are bold enough to speak into your life. Surround yourself with those people. And then the third one is through prayer and repentance. Okay. Each and every single one of us has something in our lives that's pulling us away from God. There's something that we've placed in our lives that we're not listening to God about. And what that basically means is we're saying we know better than you, God, about this specific thing. And the way around this is repentance. Saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, give me the strength to overcome this. Give me the strength to pursue after this so I can have a teachable heart. And that's the first step, admitting that you have a problem. And what we're going to do is we're going to go into a time of worship now. And I'm going to ask with the ministry teams and the prayer ministry and stuff, like, even within yourself, sitting there, seek after God. Those things that you're pulling back from God, that you're allowing to control your life, arrogance, pride, whatever it might be that's complete polar opposite of a teachable heart, surrender it up to God now. Even if you don't know what those things are, like, I want to challenge you to be bold enough to say, Lord, show me the things in my life that I'm not being teachable about. Show me those things that you want me to change so I can become the man or woman that you created me to be. And it's a really bold prayer because, like, God answers it. And by the power of His Holy Spirit, He's going to start convicting you on stuff that you didn't even know you did. And it's really difficult to go through. But that's the route to humility, is understanding that God's in control and He knows best. Okay, so, yeah, I'm going to pray for you. And then if this has spoken to you at all, come up for prayer. If you just want to pray, just you and God, that's awesome. But if you want prayer, there's people here. So I'm just going to pray for you, and then we're going to go into worship. Father God, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that for your Holy Spirit that's alive and active within our heart, and that you convict us and that you mold us into the men and women that you created us to be. And I just pray for everyone here now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will convict our hearts and just empower us to have a teachable heart. I pray, Lord, that those things that we're pulling back from you, that we're holding back from you, Lord God, those things are coming in between us and our relationship with you, Father God. I pray that you remove those now and just empower us, Father God, to be men and women that have a teachable heart, that allow your word to actively move in our hearts, and at the same time actively pursue after understanding and wisdom and understanding in our relationship with you. I pray for deliverance. I pray for boldness. I pray for conviction, Father God. Praise your name. Amen.